Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale bro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale bro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Here we are. Here we are. Here's for the people.
Egyptian mummies on a flag or a moon, and can't find food for the starving tummies. They know my
mind to the youth. Cause it's not like the future depends on it. But there's animals in the zoo. Cause the chimpanzee, them a make big money. This is how the media pillages. On TV, the picture is. Savages and villages. And the scientists still can't explain the pyramids. Evangelists making a living on the videos of ribs of the little kids. Stereotyping the image of the images. And this is what the image is. You buy a car, keep on stand. All of a sudden you are still at Indiana Jones. And I keep out the gold and keep out the scrolls and even the bird bones. Some of the worst paparazzis I've ever seen and I've ever known. Put the words on this place that the world can see and it's all that we'll ever show. So the ones in the west will never move east and feel like we'll be at home. Get tricked by the beast, but the way them a go flee when the monster is fully grown. Salamonic lineage where them two can defeat and them could have never clown. A spiritual DNA that lives in my soul and I will forever own, Lord.
Yeah. Savali, patience, what the old folks told me. Can you give a that? Discovering a world before this world, a world buried in time. Uncovered with rhymes, it gets no realer.
We born not knowing. Are we born knowing all? We growing wiser. Are we just growing tall? Can you read thoughts? Can you read palms? Can you predict the future? Can you see storms coming? The earth was flattered. You went too far. You would fall off. Now the earth is round. If the shape changed again, everybody would have started off. The average man can't prove up most of the things that he chooses to speak of. And still run research and find out the roots of the truth that you seek of. Galas teach in universities and claim that they're smart and cunning. Tell them find a cure when we sneeze and that's when their nose starts running. And the rich get fixed up when we get cut. Wanna heal them broken bones in the bush with the wet mud. Can you read signs? Can you read stars? Can you make peace? Can you fight war? Can you milk cows even though you drive cars? Can you survive?
It's crazy. When you feed people the truth, you don't know how they're gonna react. You're scared of wrongdoers. People that's just ignorant. You're scared of the truth. Be patient. For now, who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Quran? And was it a lightning storm that gave birth to the earth and then dinosaurs were born? Who made up words? Who made up numbers? And what kind of spell is mankind under? Everything on the planet we preserve and can it. Microwave it and try it, no matter what, we'll survive it. What's you? What's man? What's human? Anything along the land we consuming, eating, deleting, ruining. Trying to get paper, gotta have land, gotta have acres, so I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch niggas play the game like the Lakers, in a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers, you superstitious, throw salt over your shoulders, make a wish for the day cuz, like somebody got a doll of me, sticking needles in my artery, but I can't feel it, sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit, I'm fearless, don't you try to grab hold of my soul. Like a military soldier, since 7 years old, I held real dead bodies in my arms, felt their body turn cold. Oh, why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Dang. To all the wisdom and knowledge seekers of the world. Savali. Patience. Yeah.
Nah, my nigga, this is dedication. This is anti-hesitation. It's a real nigga celebration. It's a
dime block declaration. 59th and 5th Ave, granny house with vanilla waitress. It's the remedy to separation. Tupac of my generation. Blue pill in the fucking matrix. Red rose in the gray pavement. Young black nigga trapped and he can't change it. Know he a genius, he just can't claim it. Cause they left him no platform to explain it. He frustrated, so he get faded. Like deep down inside, he know you can't fail him. How long should I stay dedicated? How long till opportunity meet preparation? I need some real nigga reparation. Or I run up in your bank just for recreation. Dedication, hard work, plus patience. Some more of my sacrifice, I'm done waiting. I'm done waiting, told you that I wasn't playing. Now you hear what I've been saying. Dedication. Dedication.
Spent my whole life thinking out the box. Boxing homies 3-on-1, got DP but I ain't dropped. Chirp on me, here I come. Spin around the block, they broke on me. Said I ran a stop sign, but that's a lie. I spent my whole life staring at the stage. Playing Sega, daddy smoking Sherm. Mama playing spades, catching vapors. Grandma said I get some Jordans for my grades. That's my baby, when she died my heart broke 100 ways. I spent my whole life trying to make it, trying to chase it. The cycle of a black man divided, trying to break it. You take a lost shit, don't cry about it, just embrace it. Minor setback for major comeback, that's my favorite. My nigga L said you do a song with Nip. K dot here, better grip. I said he a man first, you hear the words out his lips. Without flourishing from the streets to black businesses. Level 4 yard living, given to false imprisonment. Listen close, my nigga, it's bigger than deuces and foes, my nigga. Since elementary, we close, my nigga, you're straight like that. I give you the game, go back to the turf and give it right back. For generations, we've been dealt bad hands for bad plans. Prove your dedication by hopping out Grand Am. I'm at the premiere, politicking with Top Nip and Snoop. Damn, clock watching the way we move. Dedication.
If it ain't congratulating, it look like hey. If it ain't congratulating, it look like what Nip say.
Hold up.
Blah. This ain't entertainment. It's four niggas on a slave ship. These soldiers and spirituals I swam against them waves with. Ended up on shore to their amazement. I hope the example I set's not contagious. Lockers behind gates but can't tame us. Used to be stay safe, now stay dangerous. Cause ain't no point playing defense, nigga. That's why I dove off the deep end, nigga, without a life jacket. Couple meals for the world, all my life cracking. Cook the books, bring it back, tell us no taxes. Royalties, publishing, plus our own masters. I'd be damned if I slave for some white crackers. I was mapping this out, I hit the heights backwards. Topping out the 85 and Reebok classics. Read a couple marathons just to get established. To make it happen, you got to have dedication. Hard work, plus patience. Some more of my sacrifice, I'm done waiting. I'm done waiting, told you that I wasn't playing. Now you hear what I've been saying. Dedication. Dedication.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Cocaine quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though ambition flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, it's born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, with Yoshi, a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your fucking head. This that puts the kids to bed, this that I got realness, I just kill shit cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound that engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a bitch, your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. All that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitched, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, born inside a jellyfish I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I've been through probably offend you, this is Paula's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead. With kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah. Soldier's DNA, born inside the beast. My expertise check out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale motel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've been so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial extrovert, and excellent mean an extrovert. And absentness, what the fuck you hurt? And passiveness never struck my nerve. And that's a
Tell me something. You motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I'd rather die than to listen to you. My DNA not for imitation. Your DNA an abomination. This how it is when you in the matrix. At your bullets, reaping what you're sowing. Stacking up the footage, living on the go and sleeping in the pillar. Sipping from a Grammy, walking in the building. Diamond in the ceiling, marble on the floors. Peaches out the window, peeking out the window. Baby in the pool, Godfather goes. Only Lord knows I've been going hammer. Dodging paparazzi, freaking through the cameras. Eat it for a daughter's rock, wearing sandals. Yoga on the Monday, stretches in the planner. Watching all the snakes, curving all the fakes. Phone never own, I don't camera stand, I don't compromise, I just penetrate. Sex, money, murder, these are the breaks, these are the times. Level number 9, look up in the sky, tennis on the way, tennis on the way, tennis on the way. Motherfucker, I got winners on the way. You ain't shit without a buddy on your belt. You ain't shit without a ticket on your plate. You ain't sick enough to put it on yourself. You ain't rich enough to hit the light of day. Tell me when destruction gonna be my fate. Gonna be a fake, gonna be a fake. Peace to the world, let it rotate. Sex, money, murder, IDA.
Black power, black power, black power, black power. You are listening to the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense nightly broadcast. We are coming to you live. We are broadcasting from the corners of the belly of the beast here in America, KKK. Tonight's broadcast promises to be not only very informative, it will definitely be very thought-provoking. And with all the will of the Creator, it will also be inspiring. Giving honor to the Creator, the Most High, and all the mighty ancestors that have walked the path to get us to this juncture that we are today. And as we are on our deed and on our duties, and carrying a mighty, mighty legacy of a beautiful and very powerful people who are the original people of the planet, who are the creators of virtually everything that you see and are dealing with, the direct descendants of the Most High by whatever name you choose to call, that would be us beautiful black people. And our ancestors went through so much that what we are going through today, we could definitely overcome the obstacles that we face, the enemies that we face, and not only be victorious, we will be responsible in this day and time for dictating what the course of our people will be into the future. We have no time to turn back on our heels. We have no room to fold in any shape, form, or fashion, as we have the benefit of the toils, the labor, the pain, and the bloodshed that our ancestors went through. What we are dealing with in these days and times, the mental warfare, the spiritual warfare, the political warfare, the economic warfare. It not to diminish what we're going through, but compared to what our ancestors have went through, we have no excuse but to be victorious. Our subject matter today was brought to us by our National Minister of Culture, Brother Greg. So we will have him open up tonight's discussion, followed by our Houston chairman, Brother Emmanuel. For all of you who are listening across the globe online and you want to participate, for those of you who are in the States, press 1 and dial this number of 718-664-6398. That's 718-664-6398. That number will allow you to not only listen to the broadcast, but you could also press number 1 and participate in the broadcast. So with that being said, we want to go ahead and open up the mic. We do have a couple of clips that we will play. We got a few greats, you know, we got some choices. But I think I'm going to play a clip as we get into tonight's discussion from one of our great elders, another esteemed scholar that we have in our presence today, Brother Oshua Kwesi. And it's a brief clip. It's a 17-minute clip. And it speaks on black spirituality and knowing the scholastic work that he's done, taking our people all the way to Kemet and back. I know he's going to dive off into something that's going to give us a good base. But before that, let's get a mic check. Brother Greg, mic check.
Black Power, I'm here.
Black Power, do we got a sound out from Baby Girl?
Yes, we do.
Power.
She is.
Black Power. And the child shall lead the way. That's it. All right. Mic check, Buddy Manu. Mic check, Buddy Manu.
Black Power.
Right on. Black Power. Everybody's sounding good. All right. Well, Brother Greg, we want you to kick this off, followed by Brother Manu. We'll play this 17-minute clip. And like we always do, we're going to have some serious dialogue, and we want to hear from the people. We want to hear from the people. Brother Greg, you have the floor.
Black Power, definitely. If you're listening, chime in, hit that number one. Great topic. And, you know, the topic came to mind, excuse me, because I had a great opportunity that I've had a few times. And I like to say I don't want to say it's rare, but not too many people get that opportunity, which is to have a opportunity to chat and talk with Dr. Naeem Akbar. For those who don't know who Naeem Akbar, you know, is, especially if you are have been in the quote-unquote conscious community, must have been hiding under a rock somewhere. For newer, you know, generations, you know, you may not know Dr. Akbar, but he has been, well, I won't say, you know, been, but he spoke for a little over 40 years and taught for 40 years in our community as a psychologist. He has brought some great bodies of work and put it right on the table for us. I personally have Dr. Naeem Akbar and Dr. Amos Wilson as two of my, you know, and I won't say most favorite, but two of my favorite and inspiring, you know, teachers, you know, of our time. And had a great conversation with, you know, Dr. Akbar yesterday, and every time I speak to him, I try to put in there somehow getting him to, you know, call into the show, you know, have some type of, you know, interview, but sweet, beautiful conversations, and he would just put in there, you know, I have to, you know, politely, you know, decline at this moment. He says he makes very, very rare appearances where he pops his head out. And if he does, he speaks for a very short amount of time. But I had another great opportunity within that conversation to bring in, you know, Minister Clemson Brown, which most of us know by now. And he will be back on the show, you know, very soon. But he and Minister Brown, you know, they go back decades. And Dr. Akbar reminded me that if there's any place that myself or anyone else needs to go to get information of a great extent that has been archived for us, there's no better place than to go to Minister, you know, Brown. He also reminded me that, you know, Minister Brown, Clemson Brown, has the largest archive collection of his personal, you know, speeches and lectures. And that in itself should give us just the tip of the iceberg of what we have before us, to actually be able to go back decades and to see, hear, and listen to some of these great lectures and speeches, these teaching experiences, I like to call them as well. We have all of that at our fingertips, at our disposal. And when I chatted with Minister Brown earlier, you know, he filled me in on a lot of the conversation he had with Dr. Akbar. And one thing both of them said that really resonated, which led me up to this topic. Dr. Akbar said, you know, he's always listening to what's going on. He's always observing the younger generation who's out teaching. And he said, you know, keep in mind that they're not talking about anything that's new. A lot of what's being talked about, even debated about by a lot of individuals, he said that those are topics that we've not only had decades ago, that we've already, you know, pretty much ended many questions specifically about our history and our culture. But he said one thing that that always stuck out. He said, it's time to pass the torch on. It's time for us to step up and walk in the shoes of our ancestors and our elders. That's a personal charge from, you know, Dr. Naeem Akbar to all of us, that we need to remember, we need to follow, and we need to be guided by the ancestors that has transitioned on and our elders who are still with us, because they're not going to be here forever. And they need us to step up and to step into their shoes, to pick up where they're leaving off at, and some have already left off at, and grab that baton and run with it. So my challenge is the same challenge, and my calling is the same calling that I got from Dr. Akbar and Minister Brown, is what are we going to do with all of this information? What are we going to do with all the bodies of work that's been laid and put before us? We need to step up and walk in their shoes. There was a debate that's going to be brewing, and it's an interesting debate, and I'm not ashamed to, you know, mention names, because for the most part, I really don't give a damn about what a lot of outsiders may think. But there's a brother who, very, very, very good brother here in Newark, who was taught and brought up under the teachings of Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark, very, very close friends with Dr. Jeffries. Everyone who has been in the quote-unquote Hidden Color series, and I mention that for a specific reason, this brother, you know, Ali, has walked with them and been taught by them for decades. What I mean by a debate that's unnecessarily brewing is the brother who put together the Hidden Colors, Mr. you know, Nasheed, had a really unnecessary, out of line comment to a post that Brother Ali put up, which was a teaching post in regards to the history of jazz music. And this brother, you know, Mr. Nasheed, put up a interesting, you know, post to it. And I mention all that not to, you know, say anything about, you know, Mr. Nasheed anything, but to just tie in that point that we have some of the greatest teachers still amongst us. And though many newer generation brothers and some sisters think that the information that they're talking about or bringing about is new information, it just reminds me again of what Dr. Akbar mentioned to me. this information is not new. And I mainly mention that point is because we really don't have the time to get distracted and sidetracked by anyone who feels the need to allow their ego, their pride, to step in the way of what our ancestors and our elders has laid before us. It would do nothing but a disservice, you know, to us. So again, as Dr. Naeem Akbar, and I really like to stress that from one of our great elders who is still amongst us, we need to pick up where they left off at. Any debates that Dr. Akbar had, any disagreements, or anything that he needed to talk to Dr. Clark, Dr. Ben, Asa Hilliard, or any of our other great elders about, it was done in a very respectful teaching way. And they taught me that no teacher is ever above their student, because a teacher is always a student. No teacher is ever above their student. Teacher is always a student. There's so much for us to learn, and there's so much that we've already been taught. So what are we going to do? Are we going to step up and step into the shoes and pick up where our ancestors and our elders has left off? Or are we going to allow all of this great knowledge to fall by the wayside? I know we have a lot of people listening, and I do want you guys to hit that number one and chime in, because I would like to know, what are some of the things that you think or you feel that we need to do to step up and step into our ancestors and our elders' shoes? What do we need to do to grab hold of that baton and run with? Black power.
Black power, black power. Very, very powerful intro, Brother Greg. Very powerful intro. Passing the mic, Brother Emmanuel.
Black power, giving honor to all those who came in the great line of divine before us, those who will come after us, most importantly, those that are present right now. We greet everybody with the ancient words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaykum as-salam, buddy, man. You sound a bit gurgly.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Slightly better. Go ahead, sir.
All right. Can y'all hear me a little better now?
We can hear you. It just sounds like you're in the
we just going behind Brother Greg. I agree. We have to walk in the shadows of our ancestors and lessons that they taught us. It's how we can move today. And it's so simple. It's so simple. It's just like what your mama did. She taught you how to bake a cake. You know, there's only that one way to bake that cake. And you got to repeat that same consistent method. No matter what the name of the oven is, no matter what the name of the apartment, the house, the land, wherever you're at, you're going to repeat that same method. And if you repeat it in the way that it was given to you, you will have success when you bake a cake. That's what the human does when we get up as babies. We walk based off of the imitation of what we're seeing put before us. You know, we struggle. We get to that point where we're able to execute properly, balance, necessary to move efficiently, fast. You always start slow. Even when you have the capability of moving fast and have all the strength, sometimes you're still not able to move as fast as you want to. But, you know, that is the example of what we're going through right now. So I'm glad the brother and sister brought this topic, this magnificent topic. I'm just going to wait on the clips and wait on everybody. I'm just going to wait on everybody to come on in. Listen to y'all, the knowledge from our ancestors, so we'll know how to walk and in their shoes. So I'm right here and I'm with y'all.
Black power. One thing we got to put on the table, I mean, it's really quite simple, brothers and sisters, because everything else that we have been doing and talking about as a nation as a whole have been distractions from one key thing that we have yet to do. We have yet to become liberated and emancipated. We have yet to get our freedom. We have yet to come out of slavery. We are still under the rulership of the people that enslaved our ancestors. And everything else that we're talking about is a bunch of distraction and a bunch of deflection. We are still in captivity. We are still in captivity. Everything else that we are talking about is deflection and distraction. We have one thing to do. And in that one thing, you might can break it down. Two other subcategories. Separation and, no, revolution. Separation and reparation. But the main thing is we have to come out of the captivity. See, we are walking around here as if we are not volunteering indigenous servants. You are, instead of being an involuntary indigenous servant, the majority of us are volunteering to serve, to pay for our debt. But we're still going to the same crackers that murdered us, that enslaved us. Every episode, we talk about the 13th Amendment still enslaving our people. We see case after case of police murdering our people because you know why? That's their job. They are slave catchers. And their job is to keep fear on the plantation. And the courthouse is the auction blocks. And the jails are the plantations. And us sharecroppers around here, this is what we're doing. We don't own the vast majority of the land that we own, and this is our land. We are the rightful inheritors of this land. You keep playing games. You go on a vote in the box and vote for your overseer. We sending our children to the schools of the enslaver to teach us inferiority. We go into the religious institutions that are being founded by the people who enslave us, and these things are being used as tools to keep us enslaved. We talk about everything else under the sun. We want to debate about how you said this, and you pissed me off, and this and that. All distractions instead of dealing with the elephant in the room. We are still in captivity. Why do you think the children are rebelling? No respect. And we must demand this respect. We got to be honest. How are you going to talk about reparation and you still amalgamated and integrated? How are you going to talk about separation and you're not ready to fight for it? By all means, and destroy this wicked system. Because even when we separate, they're going to keep coming back. We got to tell the truth. This is what our ancestors require of us. It's been compromise after compromise. The whole fucking civil rights movement helped to destroy us and set us back. We're not going to keep teaching slave doctrine. We can't keep passing on half-truths, the ways of the European. We have to tell the truth, and this is what is required of us if we are to truly walk in the hand of our ancestors. Our ancestors didn't fight and die for us to be well-dressed, slaves. Free to roam around the plantation, servants. This is not our destiny. And it's only on our watch. No, let me say this. Currently on our watch, I stand corrected. We have a lot of work to do. Easy to get on the radio. Our ancestors had to meet in secrecy, subject to murder, being lynched and paled. We could post stuff with no true accountability. We can get on and talk about each other and find easy excuses to turn our heels because you don't like what somebody said, because you don't like what somebody did. Does that give you an excuse to turn your back on black liberation? I don't think so. I'm going to play this 17-minute clip. I was trying to time it so that when we come back, we will have exactly 1 hour to get deep into this. We know it's Friday night. A lot of our people are unwinding after a long week. A lot of our listeners. It is Friday night here in America. It is, I think it's about 3 or 4 in the morning in Africa, if I recall right. The sun is getting ready to come up within an hour. By the time we end this show, the sun, it'll be almost 5 a.m. in Africa. So those of you who are listening from Africa, we thank you for your dedication. We appreciate that. We also not only want to remind everybody to press 1 to get into the call, but share this broadcast afterwards. So with that being said, we have a great teacher, a great scholar, Ashra Kwesi. I believe this clip might tie right in time. It is entitled Scientific Annihilation and Black Spirituality. I believe that's the right term. It was typed in. Here we go. Let's get into this science. Let's talk about our ancestors. Let's raise them up. Let's honor them in the best manner. Let's honor them by being the best example. Listen, brothers and sisters, don't go nowhere because you hear the clip. Pay attention. Black power.
We're looking at AIDS today, and now we're walking around thinking that AIDS came out of nowhere. White folks created AIDS. Why is AIDS in the areas of the, where you have the highest natural resources
The
African continent?
That's right.
Why do we see AIDS in areas like in South Africa? Okay, they know that whites are the minority there, so how are they going to reduce that? And why is it that our people are the ones that got the AIDS in South Africa?
That's
or
right.
Whether we're looking at Uganda or whether we're looking at Tanzania, all the areas that you got the highest natural resources is where you have the highest AIDS count. As Honorable Marcus Garvey told us in his book, The Philosophy Opinions of Marcus Garvey, what did he say in his book? The number one thing we had to watch out for was scientific annihilation.
Mm.
And because we haven't studied these great prophets, African prophets like him, now we are walking around in a daze like, what is going on? It's right in our face. I mean,
for
that, brother right the other day, shot down in the back, right in our face. It's like, you know, it's like the spirit of the ancestors say, what are you going to do, black man?
Mm.
That's the question now. It's obvious now that they're out to really, to exterminate us.
Mm.
We are in the way. We don't realize that. And the only way this is going to stop and we're going to get respect is the black man who has got to rise up, retaliate back. So, of course, you can see that emotion is still in me when I start talking about this particular area, brother. It's like I live it all over again.
Right, and it should be in all of us. I mean, how can you see something that happens to one member of the diaspora and not have any feelings, not elicit any emotion? Because what happens to one of us in the diaspora affects all of us in the diaspora. It sets
all of us.
It sets a precedent for white supremacy. And if they think they can get away with it over there, they'll damn sure bring it to our shores. And something else interesting that you discussed, and I was just doing some research on this yesterday, in talking about scientific annihilation and the way that white supremacy weaponizes biological agents. There were reports that have just been declassified and surfaced that said the white apartheid movement in South Africa researched ways to create viruses to specifically attack the black gene.
Right, you're absolutely right, brother. You know, we are living what we saw in science fiction movies yesterday is real today.
That's right.
Because what we saw in those science fiction movies is what they were planning, and they generally put it in their movies first. So when we look at you know, all these areas of viruses and all these particular things that are going on, this is all part of their MO. If we are picked up, if a black man is picked up, and because he's accused of robbing a bank, okay, and he is sent to prison, okay, let's say he does time and he gets out, and he does not want to go back to prison. But he just happens to be in the area where a bank is robbed, but he didn't rob the bank. Now, the question is he going to jail? Yes. Why is he going to jail? Because they say he's got an M.O. All right?
That's
his
right.
M.O. from his record tells him that he's a bank robber. Is that correct? Well, why can't we use that same analogy? Why can't we, if we look at white folks' M.O., okay, you got an M.O., oh, you put smallpox on a Native American's blankets, okay,
right.
to wipe them out. Okay, so you got an M.O. of this. You got an M.O. of exterminating people. You got an M.O. of dropping hydrogen bombs on the Melanesian Islands in the South Pacific, okay, to use their island for a test ground and put them back on it to see what the radiation and leukemia would happen to them. Okay, you got a record of literally killing millions of our people on the African continent. You got a record of enslaving our people on the African continent. You got a record all over the planet Earth where you have gone. You got a record of exterminating people. So how can we look at these white folks' record and think that we're safe here?
True indeed.
If we look at that MO, and this is a real reality that we have to look at. Keep in mind that we don't know what has been said in behind closed doors. Okay,
that's right.
We don't know what's been said behind closed doors and said, okay, now it's time for to step it up. Okay, with the killing of black men, we need to step it up. Okay, maybe it's been going on all along, you know, but now you got the technology of cameras and all these things and people recording it. And I know that a lot of the talk shows and so forth are responding for what they're seeing in these radio and these cameras and so forth. And it's good that people have filmed these things.
That's right.
Okay, those reports that we haven't even gotten. Even in 1975, when my friend got killed, just in that year, there were over 800 black men who were killed just in that year. Now, from January up to now, we're talking about 2015, there's been over 300 black men killed since they have been recording it from January to now. Now, when CNN came out, and this is one point here, I think this is very important. CNN came out 2 years ago. All right, now CNN, this is white media news, came out and said that more black men die in America, killed in America, than in the Iraq and Afghanistan war put together.
True
now, that
indeed.
Tells us something, right? That means that we're at war.
True indeed. True indeed. Statistic I pulled up last night from 1882 to 1968, 3,446 black men, women, and children were lynched. Now, of course, that's on the record. We know a lot of those lynchings went unreported.
Right. There were brothers who were burned, we never found,
right.
and buried, and, you know, those unaccounted for.
That's mm-hmm. right. Since 2005, more than 5,000 black men, women, and children have been killed by the police. So the numbers that we have since 2005 alone far exceed the numbers of black men, women, and children who were lynched from 1882 to 1968. So
right.
that should tell us something as well. That should tell us something as well. And we are indeed at war. But I believe a large number of our people don't respect that fact. Because, you know, to the...
We're living an illusion of inclusion. That's the reason it.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the reason why. I mean, we're kept with things to do so we don't have time to think. So there's all those kind of trinkets. People are being hypnotized. Most people are looking down at devices now, okay? That's where they spend most of their world at, looking at devices now. There's another young man out in L.A., Brother Siddiqui Bakari, you know, he got a, you know...
That's right. I know
program
I know,
on
I know Brother Bakari very well.
Yes, I mean, I think he's ahead of his times. You got a piece on transhumanism to show how to move the whole human spirit and emotion out of ourselves to transmit that into technology. And by doing that, it will numb us to anything that will happen to us.
True indeed.
If we understand that. If we understand. And then it becomes just an intellectual debate. You know, it just becomes the whole, a debate about the issue instead of us mobilizing around our communities and making sure that we retaliate when these kind of things take place. And that's the real reality.
True indeed. True indeed. You know, a lot of our brothers and sisters outside of the community, they have no idea what they would even be fighting for. If they picked up arms today and fought, they wouldn't know what they were fighting for. And it's because a large part of our cultural heritage has been lost. And so education and religion are two of your areas of focus. And you know we're a spiritual people. I think the enemy knows this, and they've used that as a weapon against us. So can you start talking a little bit about how Western civilization hijacked African spirituality and started to turn it against us?
Yes, African spirituality, that's the essence of us as an African people. But unfortunately, the enemy became the deity in the spiritual subconscious of our mind.
Mm.
And what I mean is that the natural spiritual essence of us, that's a natural spiritual way of life, okay? Some say it's that African spirituality they have used against us to make us so complacent. But in terms of how the enemy became the deity and the European bringing of their Christianity, okay, on Africa, this is where they brought this whole Serapis Jesus that was created at the Conference of Nicene in 325 A.D., literally created as a corruption of African spirituality that was started in the fallopian tube of the Happy Nile in the first place. Starting with going back to Asar, the whole spiritual salvation of the Asarian drama, the crucifixion of Asar by his evil brother named Set, okay? But, yes, going back to the African goddess Aset, okay, who resurrects him, okay, from the dead, okay, literally with her Netra Ankh, or divine life. That means through her womb. That's the symbol of the Ankh, which is life. Knowing that the uterus and the symbolism of the uterus and knowing the anatomy of the body, that's why they use that symbol. So here we see that the Netra Ankh, which is divine life, is going to come back. And he's going to come back through his son and Aset's son, Haru. So here we see the whole spiritual story of salvation and resurrection that the Europeans corrupted from ancient African spirituality. Asar being the perfect black, the lord of the perfect black. Now, another thing that Europeans did to us is take away our divinity. It's that black divinity that they saw on the African temples and tombs. Asar, as I said, he was the Neb. He was the lord of the perfect black. Okay, so seeing that the black divinity was part of the essence of our spirituality. And by creating this spiritual enslavement, what the Europeans did came in and created a whole white angelical realm, a white divinity on us, and made us believe that God was white. When you look at the whole angelical realm, you see a white male God represented, and you see the white Jesus
That's
and the
right.
white angels.
That's right.
So this became part of the whole killing of African people's spirit, to the point where we, in the subconscious of some of our people, we have demonized ourselves, that we wanted to be as close to whites as we possibly could because we wanted to make it into that white heaven, because that's what we've been taught to believe, that we were demons and devils. And through this, through the Ham story and through the many biblical accounts and things that they created, and to a certain extent, this is where many of our people are at, especially those who still got a white Jesus up on the church windows and
That's
so
right.
forth, stained glass windows, okay? I mean, every time you turn around, when you see a black man, when he does shoot a police, he's always shot in the leg or the foot. You know, I mean, what is it? Does he see and look into the white cop's face and then he sees a white Jesus and then all of a sudden, what happens to his spirit in that process when that's been planted deeply in his psychic, okay, that the enemy is the deity? I mean, it happens all the time. So, again, this is the part of where they took away our divinity. They took away our spiritual representation of seeing our own black God consciousness, our own black spiritual consciousness. This is what they saw in the temples and tombs. when they came in there plundering and robbing and trickling out for many things. And this is what Dr. Ben and his many works that he put out, you know, our black seminarians and black clergy without the black theology. He challenged this straight up.
That's right.
In his writings. All right, the African origin of major Western religions, okay, challenged the Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Okay, many of these ideas, okay, that without African spirituality and the foundation of African spirituality, none of these religions would exist. We should be the last people fighting among ourselves over Judaism, Christianity, Islam, okay, when in fact the foundation of it started with us. And if one is practicing one of those religions, if it's not coming from a black theology and a black divinity, we should get rid of it because it's increasing our spiritual enslavement.
So in light of this knowledge, should Christians leave the church? Should Muslims, you know?
Well, I think that, what brothers were doing back in the day, when we go back to the time of Richard Allen, and we go back to the time where they were sending us a message, okay? When you go back to the institutions that they were building, Prince Hall didn't call the lodge Prince Hall. He called it the African Lodge, okay? When many of those brothers, they were talking about a black Jesus. So they were more in touch with their black divinity than we are today. So I think that, you know, some black folks don't even know that the acronym for the African Methodist Episcopal Church is African. All right.
That's right.
So the point is that if they were taking us back to that consciousness in the 1700s and 1800s, then why haven't we got to our own institutions to express our own spirituality and our own black divinity in those institutions? Okay. The reason is because the Negro church is still controlled by the white church. Okay. That's, as I said, Dr. Ben's book. Are black seminarians and black clergy without a black theology, are black seminarians, because they are still go to a white cemetery school or seminary school, okay, to learn a white theology. So that preacher is sent back to our community to teach us in their services, okay, to how to worship white folks. So in turn, we get caught into white idolatry. And that is the worship of white images. That is an eternal enslavement, all right? So this is where once, you know, the slave fights like a dog, okay? You have trained your dog. You have fed your dog, okay? Your dog is not right. You could take him on the other side of town because you're tired of this dog. You take him on the other side of town, that dog will sniff his way back and find you, all right? The same thing with the slave. The slave wants this illusion of inclusion. He wants to be close to his master. He wants his master to be with him.
He wants
even
to be
the
integrated into his master's house.
Integrated into his life. He wants to be accepted as one of him, and that is not. And the slave has not understood that. No matter how much he kills his family, okay, and still expresses the hate that he has for him, okay, he's been trained. That's what slavery has done to some of our people that trained us like animals, okay, to love that master no matter what. And the religion, his white supremacy Christianity, played a major role in that enslavement to this very day. And that's why I call it how the enemy became the deity in the spiritual subconscious of our mind. And it's played out every day of our life. So this is something that when we start to deal with these things that we talked about a few minutes ago, okay, why we can't have a mental break, okay? We want white folks, the very people that kill us, to be in the intellectual debate and discussing how they kill us.
That's right.
So these are areas that we have to challenge, okay? There are many pieces to this, okay? And not one of us, and I sure don't, have the piece.
That's
okay?
Right.
We have, as I call it, the eye in the broken glass syndrome. And meaning what that is, I use the analogy of a mirror up to... You put it up to your face, you can see your face. But if someone knocks that mirror out your hand on the ground, it breaks up into many pieces. But if you pick up one of those little pieces, you can't see your face anymore. You see a piece of your face. So it takes many of us to pick those pieces back up again, and no matter what your interest is, that interest must be for your people. So as Dr. Clark said, peace be upon him, take what you do best and do it for your people. And when we take the peace and respect those who have mastered their particular area and reconstruct the image of us again.
True indeed.
Black power. Black power, can y'all hear me?
Black power.
Black power.
All right, black power, black power. There you had it. That was Dr. Oshua Kwesi, a very great scholar we do have in our mix today. In fact, he lives in Texas, Dallas, Texas, to be exact. There's a very famous picture of Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad sitting at the table with he got a white shirt on and a kente cloth jacket, the same jacket he had on the Phil Donahue show. And the man sitting to the right of him with the salt and pepper beard is Dr. Oshua Kwesi. Not only is he a great scholar, but he is a great ally of the movement. And we have to have those type of scholars who are not afraid to be revolutionary. As Dr. Khalid said, if you're going to be a scholar, be a revolutionary scholar. If you're going to be a businessman, be a revolutionary businessman. And these are the greats that we have walking amongst us today. And we should give them honor while they are here. Not in any shape, form, or fashion should we take for granted those greats that are here by any shape, form. We should sit at their feet. We should invite them to speak. We should listen to their lectures. We should pick up the books. We should be taking on the work. You know, we still have stuff that needs to be documented. But the Greg tells us over and over, what will we do with our archives? You know, there's great archives. I remember when, it's funny, I remember when Dr. Khalid, this was 1998. This is when he was having his, when he had the separation from the nation. And he was speaking at the University of Houston in the basement at the hotel, the Hilton Hotel. The University of Houston has like a hotel, you know, degree program or whatever. So there is a Hilton at the University of Houston that has a basement that people were bringing people to, you know, you rent it out to have events. So anyway, Dr. Khalid was there and Dr. Ben was there. And Dr. Ben was talking about all of this information that he had collected over time, and he needed somewhere to archive it. And I believe he said that he had checked all around America, and there was no independently black-owned university for him to give this archive to. All of the universities are ran by the state, and of course we know the state is ran by the crackers and the house niggers. So he mentioned that the only place at the time, I believe he said it was Muhammad University, was the only place that had the capacity for that. And then fast forward, you know, I know another great elder with the Republic of New Africa, who's always been documenting and recording all of these different events. He's mentioned that he's got thousands of hours, you know, hundreds of tens of thousands of archives of videos of the different stuff, works of documenting the works of for the Republic of New Africa all the way dating back to the 60s. And then, of course, we've heard Dr. Clemson Brown say twice, the two times that he came on his broadcast, that he has an archive. And Brother Greg talks about that over and over. And this is something that is very important to us as a people. You know, these are some of the things, some of our responsibilities right now. Talking about walking in the shoes of our ancestors. How do we document? How do we archive and preserve the works of our ancestors? One of the things that the Europeans did initially upon the great wars that were taking place, when they got a good foothold, they destroyed millions of books that would be our history, that would be our record. Not only that, during the time of chattel slavery, it was illegal, subject to death, for us to be taught to read. This is how important information is. And now that we have all of these great scholars, listen, you know, we can just name them, those who have passed, those who are here, we need to be building the institutions, building the facility, be it virtually, be it hard copy. These are things that we do need to put in place. Our archives, our records. There is even something spiritually that they said that we have within us. It's called the Akasha records. Am I correct, brothers? And in our Akasha records, we have within us the DNA record, everything that our ancestors went through are still in us. And we will pass it through the bloodline of our ancestors. I mean, those who come after us, after we're ancestors. And lastly, I want to speak of Dr. Marcus Messiah Garvey. He said he would come back in the whirlwind. He projected how he would be coming back, and he still is that for within us. Speak of Marcus Garvey. We speak of Malcolm X. We speak of Martin Luther King. We speak of Harriet Tubman. We speak of Ida B. Wells. We speak of all of these great people. And I say this over and over, and I will repeat it. Millions of us, of our people, have been born and died. But the ones we remember were those who lived and died, giving of themselves, far beyond themselves, for the people, for our people. They paid the ultimate sacrifice, their lives. Dr. Khaled, Fred Hampton. So we must honor our ancestors, not just in words, but in deeds. And not only give them respect, but continue to work. And do it in a very methodic way, because we are dealing with an enemy through scientific annihilation that's trying to erase us, through germ warfare, biological warfare, propaganda warfare, educational warfare, spiritual warfare, you name it. And we come from such greatness that we would never allow a defeat. Believe it or not, brothers and sisters, this American government is just like remember on the Wizard of Oz, on the Wiz? When they finally pulled the curtain back, it wasn't nothing but a man sitting there turning the wheel, had been blowing out smoke and screaming illusion. When the curtain is pulled back on this country, you will see that's exactly what it is. It is an illusion. They have propagated an illusion, and it's all smoke screen. Because you saw just December the 6th of last year, when they own crackers ran into they institute, was that this year? Jane, was that this year? When they the crackers ran into the fucking Capitol.
Yeah.
Was that this year or last year? So much shit.
No, I believe that was early this year, if I'm not mistaken.
I'll double check. That's right. That was this year. But look what happened. That was January the 6th, right? Look.
I'll double check that.
The crackers. But look, just remember this. The crackers ran into the Capitol, supposed to be the head government of parliament. And what were they doing in parliament? They were ducking and hiding under chairs like cowards. Curtain's been lifted. What happened? They were afraid of their own kind. They're going to follow their own kind, their own way. And our people, we have got to stop following these damn devils and following their ways and their behaviors. The white man hates women. He's a homosexual. So he has pushed patriarchy to have men turn against their women. It's been indoctrinated. The white woman, they had an island called Lesbos. They'd rather lay up with each other. So they pushed this feminist idea, trying to put women against the men. We are not going to allow this. It is a problem. We must break these chains of white supremacy. We are one, male and female. This is the way the Creator made us. We do not believe in homosexuality. This is the way of the white man. We have to push them and stop them and annihilate this wickedness that they're perpetrating and pushing. The pedophilia. All of these are the ways of the cracker. The hating black skin. When they want to be us. These are the way of our enemy. We must separate. And separation starts not just physically, but it's mentally and spiritually. And once you have personally evolved your own self mentally and spiritually, the most natural, the most automatic thing is going to do to move out on it physically. We have no excuses. Ain't no people on the planet can name the roster of mighty ancestors that we have. Ain't no people on the planet can has the roster of the current scholars that we have. You put them up against them. They hide every time. From Dr. Aleem against Dr. Fauci. You put Dr. Joy LaRue against any of these scientists on psychology, should eat them up. You put Asha Crazy before any of these so-called Egyptologists, he'll eat them up. You put Brother Emmanuel before any of these slave-peddling politicians, he'll eat them up. You put Brother Greg in front of any of these slave-pushing Negroes, he gonna eat them up. You put me in front of them. This is the way we should be. All of us. It is on all of our watch. We should not allow any compromise. And we should be building one another up. If I see you slipping, what kind of person am I going to be to let you keep slipping? And if you see me slipping, what kind of person are you to let me slip? Are we going to make mistakes? Of course. Will we be erred and wrong sometimes? Yes. We must acknowledge it. We can't be like, yeah, I fucked up, and so what? No. Mm-mm. Fix that. We can't try to right wrong. We must be the prime and righteous examples. Black power. All right. I'm throwing that mic back. Who's ready? Who's ready?
Well, I know, Brother Man, you're going to jump in, but I just want to take like 30 seconds just to go right off of what you said. We have so much that has been, stolen and destroyed. When you look at what happened in the city of Alexandria in Kemet, burned to the damn ground. When we go back to the end, towards the end of the Moorish reign around 1491, 1492-ish, actually going into 1493, when they were finally, pushed out because of internal conflicts, all of those archives, all of that stuff was destroyed, by the Spaniards, when Queen Isabella and Ferdinand and them, got things together in order and finally pushed out in southern Spain, the last of those Moors. They destroyed a lot of those historical documents and writings. It's kind of on the tip of my tongue, but I'll try to remember, but many of the castles that were built by the Moors that were eventually turned into mosques, churches, and so forth, 99.9% of all of the literature that were in them, were destroyed. I mean, we think about even in Iraq, when this bullshit of a war went on, there was so much historical information, in Iraq, even black, jet black artifacts were destroyed. They were plundered, they were just plundered and just stolen. I mean, we have so many examples of all of our history recorded that were just destroyed and plundered and stolen. And that's why, number two, it's so important to take seriously what we have before us. I mean, we have some great, fantastic scholars. And when we think about the Schomburg Institute, now just imagine if we got a handful of people that can just sit down with Minister Brown and go through the body of work that he's collected, man, we could open up our own damn university, your own institutions. You talk about having someone who walked with Dr. Ben from the very beginning all the way up to his transition. Someone who has that information. I'm talking about, I've sat and watched some of the recordings where Minister Brown is having lunch, a round table lunch with these brothers, and it's as if, man, they're just so casual. They go from one topic to this topic to that topic. It's like walking in someone's home and just sitting down with family. He has that type of information, that type of, you know, historical documents where you get to see, you know, John Henry Clark sitting back at a table just chatting and cutting it up. It's like mind-boggling that we have all of that at our disposal. And if that information gets, I mean, just in the hands of our enemy, ain't no telling what the hell is going to happen. We'll never get that back. We'll never get it back. So all it takes is just a couple of individuals just to step up and say, you know what? We're going to commit ourselves to making sure that our history is preserved. Ashwa Kwesi, I spoke to him earlier this year, and mind-blowing conversations. Just like you just mentioned, sister, I mean, we have all of this at our disposal, right at our fingertips, and we cannot afford to allow it just to fall at the wayside, to just get stolen and plundered, just like all of our other, you know, history. Just imagine if we can go back and just be able to just read some of the document from Alexandria. Just imagine if we could do that. I mean, I know we talk so much about the Moors from 711 to 1492, but just imagine if we can just travel a little bit further south, a little bit further south into Timbuktu, Mali, Songhai, the original Empire of Ghana. Just imagine if we can just go back and if we had that information, where they used to clean the blackboards and drink the water because they wanted to take in that knowledge. Just imagine if we can go back and just have the opportunity just to read our ancient African traditions. We got to really appreciate what we have before us, walking in the shoes of our ancestors. They've led and they've paved the way for us. We just need to jump in, pick up that baton, and take off. Black power.
Black power. Black power. Brother Emmanuel.
Black power. You know, I can't say no different. It is what it is. Our situation is based off of what happened in the past. And if we have no knowledge of what happened in the past, oh, yeah, we're bound to repeat it.
Brother Emmanuel.
I think we lost them.
Well, I tell you what, you know, I'm going to cover down until he calls back. I'm going to just keep talking. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about some of the illusions that these crackers have. I believe for a fact that the majority of the most important documents, them crackers still got them. Don't make no mistake about it. You know what I'm saying? This is how they were able to make some of the advances that they were able to make, you know, being, look at Europe. Look at the history of Europe. That place is scum. That place is ghetto. That place is a ratchet. That's like the worst, ratchetest, bummiest part of the planet. You know what I'm saying? No resources. So for them, them people lived in squalor. You know what I'm saying? They live real foul. You know what I'm saying? So for them to come out of the situation that they were in, it was based on what they had stolen and plundered from us. Now, if you're going into a land and you plunder it, you're not going to take the high science or the most important information and destroy it. You know what I'm saying? I believe, and I would bet my bottom dollar that many of these great things they still have. This is part of a big part of the cover up. You know what I'm saying? Because that would be the wealth. You know what I'm saying? Now, what they do is just like with everything else. They took our great things and they bootlegged it. And they reprocessed it and sent it back out like it was theirs. You know what I'm saying? And like, look at, and for have folks looking like, wow, look what they did. You know, no, they bootlegged everything. Even look at their highest order, you know. And we really got to just break this down. You know, we just going to keep it real. I was talking about the illusions that they put forward. So there are no more monarchs except allegedly as far as in Europe, except for the Queen Elizabeth and all them, those wicked devil reptiles, right? And then those monarchs are still operating under the authority of the Pope, the Vatican. The Vatican has so much of the information. The Vatican has a lot of information. Okay,
that's right.
And then America is a colony of England. The colonizers of America would be the English, the French. You know, they literally emptied out their prisons because they didn't want to come and toil and work the land. So they sent their savages here, and when they came, you know, they were illiterate. They were wicked, you know what I'm saying? But when they started kidnapping our ancestors and enslaving our ancestors that were here, they kidnapped people who were builders, people who were scientists. You know, let them tell it. You think they just start catching us? We was flying off the damn vine. They just snatched us. You know, that's what they would present. That's not what it was. Like Brother Greg said, they the western coast of Africa, you have empires were there. Mali, Sangha. Come on. Northern Africa, these are empires. We've been having this. This is why they invaded. Like he just said, Iraq. That was the area of Samaria. It'll be black people. Black people all everywhere. You can't name no corner where we wasn't there. See, the enemy knows who we are. We don't. They keep our information. If you go into some of these European mansions and all this, what are their prizes? Even right now, you're not going to find no art greater than some African artwork. Compare African carving, just even right now, just keep it real. Go see an African mask and put it next to a little porcelain cracker fucking sculpture. It's gonna pale in comparison. Just keep it real. What the hell do they have? A bunch of fucking sculptures of crackers naked? Let's just keep it real. What do they have for a culture? What does the European culture have? Nothing. The illusion. Now that we know, it's like this whole charade is just the wizard behind the wheel. What do we have? We have dynasties, thousands and thousands of years. We have awakened. We are awakening. So what they do, they spend millions and millions of dollars and push out. Look at some of these series. Like I was talking about, Love and Hip Hop. I mean, I'm not taking nothing from these brothers and sisters. Everybody wants to see them doing well. But 99% of these people are either one hit or quitters, has-beens who haven't been playing their music in 30 years or up-and-comers. You know what I'm saying? The true icons or the true musical greats are not on these shows. You know what I'm saying? These are people who are desperate for money right now. You know what I'm saying? They desperate.
fame, no money. So they put them in front of you in these bad-ass beautiful clothes, in these beautiful houses, when these driving these nice cars, and guess what they all doing? They all trying, if you pay attention, they all trying to create a business for themselves, a boutique, a store. They trying to get a way to get money. They living off of an image. If you pay attention, they done served us some, you know what I'm saying? Like when I was throwing shows back in the day, these were what you call B-list, D-list artists, D-list artists. You know what I'm saying? If you want to get a top artist, they're not going to be on a show like this. They're not going to have nobody following them around everywhere the fuck they going. Let's keep it real. All these other shows, you got, you know, but they showing glamorous people, but they always got a slot. They promote those of them who represent the Eurocentric way. The sisters who wear this white woman wig. You know what I'm saying? The brothers who perpetuate, you know, exploiting women, you know, yeah, I got a wife, but, you know, but I do see there's a change coming. Because remember, they were trying to push all this gay shit. A lot of people push back on that.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people push back on that. A lot of black people was like, fuck that shit. And now you see more marriages being shown. You notice that? Even
yeah,
when they try to
definitely.
Use us, they showing a lot of marriages. They showing people trying to fight. I mean, you know, like they used to show people fighting. Now they showing people trying to do counseling and working through stuff. See, even the enemy tools can be used for a footstool. I think I heard Brother Manuel roar a second ago. Brother Manuel, you back? Emmanuel. I know I heard him say, was that you, Greg?
Oh, that was me. I was agreeing with you. I thought I heard something too.
Okay.
Yeah, that was me. That was me agreeing with you on you know what you were saying.
Yeah, you know, everything that they're trying. You know, I was even it's interesting too because I was talking to a couple of sisters, you know, and I noticed that's another thing. A couple of sisters, I'm like, sister, why you wearing that wig on your head? Like, you know, they keep telling me my hair natural under here. I'm like, so why you got that wig on? Oh, it's just a hat. No, it's not a hat. You don't really realize how beautiful you really are. You know what I'm saying? But we have put a lot of that on our own self. You know. Oh, you got that good hair. What's good hair? The one with the curly hair, like a mulatto mixed breed. They call that good hair. The good hair is hair that you normally see when you got a mixed breed, mulatto. That's what they call good hair. But what if we really realize, if our people really realize that hair, well, we are the only ones that have hair. Our hair is non-ether. It stands up to the sun, a conductor. All the other people have fur. It is flat like a dog on the animal. All the other animals. We are the only people with hair. We have an actual crown, a halo. A halo. Because
that's right.
A natural crown.
Yeah, that's right. And,
go ahead,
and nothing happens. And nothing happens to us in the sun. we don't suffer from all that, you know, crap from being in the sun. That's our natural environment. We don't need all that sunscreen, all of that sunblock and stuff like that. We thrive. Professor Kaba, a couple of years back, he was really teaching and touching on that he used the fact that our natural environment, as along with the summertime up here in the Northeast, up here in this area, it's known. It's like a, I won't even say it's a saying, but it's kind of known that during the summertime, or once the weather, you know, breaks, you know, we tend to act differently. And unfortunately, in some situations, you know, we just go the wrong route, you know, whether it's, you know, hitting the street,
being violent.
What
you mean
what I mean by acting differently in a positive way? Once the winter is over and the spring is starting to come in and the summertime hits, and we have all of that nice, warm, hot weather, we have all of that vitamin D, you know, from the sun, it rejuvenates us. It gives,
right.
it gives us life. And I'll use that, you know, per se. It gives us that, you know, that natural, you know, vibrant, you know, energy in us, because it's that time of the year. And he was really making that point that people will, you know, especially the enemy, they would just put such a spin on things. And he really tied it in that the reason why the summertime we have so much energy, so much activity going on is because that's our natural state. We're used to that type of weather, type of temperature. And even though we are generations away from our ancestors who were born on the motherland, even though many of us, well, a good majority of us, we're not born in the motherland. We're born here. But despite that, we still have that connection when that weather breaks. It's just genetically in us that when there's warm weather, we're vibrant. I mean, our antennas are up, just like you mentioned. We can really, really be at our best. Not to say that we can't be, that we're not at our best all year round, but it's just that naturalness. The same as what you mentioned about the natural hair. Man, it's not a hat, like you just said. But if we understood that our natural essence, our what's in our DNA is so great that this enemy goes to any and every extent to destroy that. Whether it's our history, our culture in that respect, all the way down to who and how we are naturally, they'll go to no extreme to make sure that they try to oppress us in every single way, every single way. So we have so much, again, at our disposal, at our feet, teachings, the history from our ancestors all the way to our natural born DNA within us. They want to be like us. They want to imitate us. They steal everything. History all the way down to wanting to be like us, dress like us, sound like us, have the rhythm in our soul like us. That's all natural. That's all natural. When we look at and we see all of these studies comparing our children from birth to their children at birth up until the first 2 years or so, just how far more advanced we are even at that young age from birth, of course they don't, of course they're going to do whatever they can to destroy that. Of course they are. So it's within us as a people. We have that, the original. We have all of that. And they won't stop no matter what. Every level, every opportunity, every extent to make sure that they're going to destroy us. Black power.
Black power. Brother Manuel, are you back yet? I still see his phone on. Can you hear us, brother? All right. So let me do, let me go ahead and open up this mic. Let me open up this mic. We got a, you know it. Brother Yahya, your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum, Black Power.
Walaikum salam, Black Power.
Alaikum salam. Alhamdulillah. And Brother Emmanuel, Honorable Brother Emmanuel, his line went out. We're not
gonna
get to
listen
to him. Okay.
Something's going on with his phone. Go ahead.
I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to speak. And once again, the Olympics of the heart and the mind, and that's not to disrespect the broadcast and this gathering by using the word Olympics. But it is challenging. But I was really inspired by Honorable Brother Greg, beginning with addressing the challenges of preserving our ancestors' records and at the same time preserving them from them being mined. And I really was really grateful by Honorable Brother Emmanuel's imagery that trying to share with the people that sometimes it says inherit as having to follow and knowing that you need to follow a certain recipe to be able to bring that medicine and that comfort to the people and the family when you bake a cake. And Crystal Muhammad, I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for all the work that you have done, all of you, all the work that you have done, and the time that you have invested in speaking with me. Because I've been grateful to be able to speak and attempt to advocate not only for the safety of the children, but the preservation of a lot of formation that needs to be placed in formation that needs to be preserved and protected. And I... I'm also advocating for my sister and I. My sister is a woman in our family chosen to carry the legacy of the powerful female warriors in our family and our matriarch. May peace be upon her. The transmutation that we experienced of being separated and kept in isolation in Central America led to traumatic experiences that in which my sister over time needed the space to separate. And I, as her ally, have even have tried all of my life to try to uplift her and in and I call her my older sister, even though she is younger than I, because of her inherent wisdom. And her dream was to be able to have a family and be able to have children. And both her and I are in this long night in the Garden of Love that we call our lifetimes. Together, our mourning, the fact that she can't reproduce. So I wanted to, and that's something that came from the trauma of what this so-called attempted takeover of the country with this dictatorship template that I saw occur in Guatemala and affect my mother, and it placed my mother into slavery in 1954 when she was only 12. And my mother, all praises to the Creator, broke the silence and regarded for the first time. And she's in her 80s. And so I am grateful to have had so many elders and so many community members gather and bring a piece of little bit of medicine and I would like to extend my gratitude with permission to an honorable educator, Dave Chappelle, my apologies, who just very courageously confronted the nation in saying that all of us in humanity at one point are challenges where the physical and cognitive disabilities that and the illnesses and the predators that we experienced from the natural world where our oppressors and that's where we developed all of this incredible uplifting bundles of medicine and libraries that are finally confronting how it's being used against us because we have not had this same support network that has, like now, the nation, the United States of Amnesia, which should be the United States of America, once it wakes up and it realizes that people were trying to warn everyone that we're not talking about a localized white supremacist presence, so-called white supremacist, and thank you, Honorable Crystal Muhammad, for correcting me, because it's so-called, because it has not succeeded in anything yet thus far, and it has united globally in a multiplicity of ways and layers. And by advocating for trying to preserve our DNA, trying to preserve our ability to reproduce and say we successfully survived genocide. And the last attempt of it was World War II. And it can go back thousands and thousands of years, each attempt, and none have succeeded, all praises to the Creator. But these mechanisms that the educator, Honorable Dave Chappelle, just confronted the nation with, was that elders and our healers are able to have been able to collect and use the same tools of psychology and to now be able to look at the United States in the same way that we're able to look at Wuhan, because in Wuhan there's still an intact presence of, in very small places and families, of what it was like to have the millennial memory and the millennial power and the balance of power and the shared of responsibility over those challenges, which at one point were the illnesses and physical disabilities and cognitive disabilities and the environmental challenges. And we are witnessing is this recolonization of our minds, and this because alhamdulillah, my sister is a warrior, and she stands up all of her life. She has always stood up, even though I support her separation, her need to separate from the presence of men, from all the trauma that she has experienced. She is the one that came out for me for support, and I was the one that supported her in the need for separation. And therefore, while we're looking at this inequality of care, of medical care, so-called, or if you allow the victims of this exported patriarchy that implanted in the minds and hearts for generations and generations of these mechanisms of survival, this is now we're witnessing their presence manifest and amplified because of what Honorable Crystal Muhammad just mentioned, of everyone's need to selfishly be their own brand, to want to be a leader, to want to be the presence of everything, in order to fulfill that void in which everyone is experiencing right now, and or has been experiencing. And I just would like to share that the children come first, and in my life, and therefore, if anyone, and this is for the paparazzi, that would want to make any attempt to beat together the necklace of sounds that are called the syllables of the choir of heartbreak that I've been leaving through the broadcasts of New Black Panther Radio, all praises to the Creator, and due to their dignity that they have shown me, I would like to share why I, within my so-called suffering, had the clarity to reach out to Honorable Crystal Muhammad and ask a question. And the question was that I wanted to offer the island of Guahan. And it is not that much land, but it's land. And the reason that I called, because I am involved, was involved my entire life in their preservation and practicing in practices on how to preserve our records. And even down to being able to analyze melodic phrases and be able to find the original person that documented it, and even going to our oral histories. So I would like to announce that as an African coming into this modern Spanish colony, and we has very beautiful, healthy aspects of it, I was able, and once again, because I was raised in Guatemala, I'm also able to decipher what is African and what is Spanish within the presence even of my own family or on the island, or what is Japanese, Spanish, African. And even in our language, 40% of it is Spanish. And it is this serendipitous GPS positioning. It's nothing more. And the love for the children and the need to be able to preserve our memory and the self-determination process.
Let me add this. Brother Yaya, so we found, and it was that Spanish is majority of Spanish language comes from Latin, and Latin is an African. It was the Moors are the Africans. It's like even the language that they have that they're claiming is theirs, they got it from us. Go ahead, finish what you said.
That's right.
Black power.
Black power. So, Honorable Crystal Muhammad, so what you're referring to is if the forensic data or our story or so-called historical records of the entire world presented in its most formal fashion would actually place these communities that have secretly and under the radar have been, and now it's not so, like you said, now everything is out in the open, but under the radar operating the so-called white supremacist workflows and systems and even embedded them in every aspect of our lives in order to dominate and control us and even to prevent our healing process from occurring, would actually undergo a really traumatic experience, and therefore shouldn't we be trying to organize psychological support for them after we survived so much colonial psychology, misplaced white supremacist psychology? Because
psychological support for who? The so-called white supremacist?
The so-called white supremacist psychology that has been used on.
No, we ain't got nothing for them.
I believe that they're the
ones
that
we have absolutely zero for them.
Then I would like to suggest to them that they need to find psychological support, because our global communities, Africa, Pan-Africa, and the diaspora are about to present our history records in every place of the world in which we find ourselves. And I would like to state publicly, and especially for the paparazzi that is going to try to weave my words together, that our matrilineal memory is important in order to diffuse all of the efforts and ways in which we're being attacked and our healing methods are being prevented from occurring. And because I refuse to hurt our families and the women in my life in order to feel a sense of importance or to gain any positive forward movement in society or monetary gain. I have, since 2012, have been on a lockhold with the state of New Mexico because they used our Pan-African diaspora and African people to, of our own family, to deauthorize my own African presence in order to be able to follow through with their judicial decisions that they had made behind closed doors, and I have yet to move. And the reason that I am stating this is because this is going to bring relief to many families across the nation, and it would also ripple out because we refuse to be rendered into a custody battle. We refuse to be rendered into having us adopt our amnesia. And instead, I would like to extend my gratitude to Honorable Dr. Joy Degadiri, alhamdulillah, for being the human being that planted that acupuncture needle within that secret matrix in which you are controlling all of us, and put the needle in so gently and everything is visible.
Black power.
All to the Creator. And I would like to state, Black Power, that so-called in the DSM book, where my heart broke and where they thought they succeeded in silencing me and separating me from the children and placing them purposely in danger.
Hold on, wait a minute.
In parental alienation.
Wait a minute, you said.
That's what it was called, parental alienation.
What is this? I just got somebody else sent that to me. It says DSM is referring to the ICD-11 or DSM. What do you mean DSM?
Well, I forget.
What is that, a diagnosis term?
It's a diagnosis thesaurus for psychologists and psychiatrists.
Okay.
And it is edited every year or every few years, I believe, by the National Psychology Board. And Honorable Dr. Joy Degadiri is the person responsible in placing the post-traumatic slave disorder category in there, in which you, Honorable Krista Mohammed, the MPPP, educated me on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I was unaware of that. Black Power.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Post-traumatic. When I got stuck in parental alienation and no one believed me, no one believed that the children were being used as weapons. But the big thing is that my responsibility is bigger than the children. I am also responsible for their past, present, and future.
That's right. Well, we have to look at what genocide does. How this thing, look how long this has been going on. Okay, if the original people of Europe were black, and this is a fact, the Etruscans of Rome, they even got a pyramid in Bosnia that shows black people, even in Scotland. How long has this genocide been going on? How long has this practice of genocide been going on? If you can take an island like Guam, you can take, this genocide has been going on too long. The places in Asia, they have been trying to wipe us off the planet. They're trying their best to do that here in the United States. But we're going to stop this. We're going to stop this. But brothers and sisters, we have 5 minutes left into the broadcast. We want to thank Brother Yahya for coming aboard. He's always got something very, very powerful to say. This brother, I'm going to have our brother, we're going to call him, no chaser, coffee, no sugar, no cream. Brother Abdul Akbar, I know you got something to say. Brother Akbar, something is really going on with our switchboard tonight, brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Something's going on with our switchboard.
Yeah, nobody can get in.
Yeah, I'm trying to open up their mic. We can't hear them.
I don't know what even happened to Brother Emmanuel. Brother Emmanuel? Yeah, some funky business going on. Hey, but the show goes on. Well, hey, Brother Greg, we got 4 minutes. We got 4 minutes. We need you to take us on out. Okay, there he go. Hey, there he go. Let's try this again.
Yeah, black power.
Black power. We can hear
you
now.
Yeah, step in, man, the queen.
Yes, sir. We know you have something strong to say to take us on out.
Our people need to step up to the plate. Like I said once before, praying and singing ain't going to get it. We got to do more than prayer and sing. We got to put our prayers into action. Black power.
Black power. Every
Black
time.
Black power.
He going to get straight to the point.
Hey, look,
there
you know,
go.
That, that's just like Dr. Naeem Akbar, when he told me, he said, listen, I'm not going to speak long. He said, I'm not going to speak long. I'm going to get right to the point, and that's it. Exactly what his brother just did.
We can all appreciate that. We can all appreciate that. You know, man, we are beautiful people, man. That's the point I want to just keep reiterating over and over. Do y'all realize all of the shit we've been through, all the stuff we've been through, and we still beautiful? Even our sisters and brothers on the shows, they, you know, they beautiful. They just been mind twisted, and they coming out of it. You know what I'm saying? But you just turn on the TV. I mean, just turn on the television show and turn on a black show and a white show. Look how beautiful we are. I think the most high that we were born beautiful, melanated people. Imagine being a cave dweller. Imagine if that is your heritage and your heritage. No. Thank you, Most High. Thank the creators and ancestors. I'm so honored. We should be honored. We should give thanks and praise. Only an envious. Now, if you wasn't worth something, or if you wasn't so important, they wouldn't attack you.
Just when do you care about a
piece of trash balled up on the side of the road? You don't. You worry about the jewel. This is who we are. Go ahead, Brother Greg. Take us on that.
You hit it right on the head. I can't even imagine how it feels to be that envious of someone else, to have to go to those lengths and extremes to really want to be like someone else. You steal their culture, you steal their history, you steal their people. You steal everything because you want to be like them, and then you're going to be so evil and destructive that you want to try to destroy them in every single way possible. A great one of his old lectures to the 90s, our ancestor just transitioned, Dr. Renoko Rashidi. Are whites inherently evil? That's the title of his lecture. And he went in and he said, you know what? He said, inherently, he says, no. He says, but look at their behavior, yes. Look at India, you look at Australia, and there's one other place on the tip of my tongue I'm trying to think of that he mentioned all three of them, and he used examples of the extent that they had gone to just destroy us as a people. The other place, it's right off the coast of Africa, Tasmania. Like, there's none of us left.
Off the coast of Australia?
Tasmania is off the off the coast of Australia or Africa? No, Madagascar, off the coast of South Africa. Madagascar, yes, that's down in that area. But Tasmania, I'm sorry, is one the other place that he mentioned, where there's no more of us there, none.
Mm-hmm.
And when he went into it into great detail of the extent that they went through to get rid of us. When you mentioned not long ago in regards to the Europeans brought over here, the worst of the worst from Europe, that was during our Renaissance period. Not long after, quote unquote, you know, slavery ended, we had millions upon millions of freed slaves who were the backbone who built this country, skilled people who are now free. They had to get rid of that group or that class of people, and they brought all of these Europeans over. So when you really dig into the history of it, you start to really put the pieces together and just see just how there's no extent that they would not go to destroy us. So they brought all these Europeans over because they knew that we or our ancestors as free slaves were the biggest, the hardest workers, the ones who built this country, and they did not want us to advance, succeed whatsoever. So they brought them in to take over. They brought all of these people from all of these European countries, the deceased, bring us your poor, bring us your debt. Who the hell wants to tell someone, give me your poor, give me your destitute, give me the worst of your worst? How low down can you get? How low down can you get? And Dr. Renoko Rashidi, he brought that same point up with Australia, with Tasmania, where they brought the worst of the worst from these European countries, these barbaric people, and dropped them off and let them go about just destroying and killing all of the natives. I mean, how low can you go? Give me your worst of the worst. Your worst. They don't have any length or extent that they won't go to destroy us. And lastly, when Brother Yahya was talking, when we look at the Kemetic language, that language is still spoken through the Coptic Church. Dr. Anthony Browder gave a great presentation that I was at with his archaeological discoveries and excavations in Kemet. And he pointed out, he said, there are certain tombs in certain areas where they're doing excavating where they don't want other groups to go in to see what they're finding. And he went into one and he showed the image of the West African Indinkra symbols in these tombs in ancient Kemet. And he just brought that correlation together of just how unified we are from West, East, North, and South of our motherland, but they won't let that be taught. They won't let others know.
Well, that's
know.
Just like when I did my African DNA, and it said mm-hmm. that my people were from Guinea-Bissau, and the people of Guinea-Bissau said that their ancestors came from the land of Ethiopia. It said it specifically said Ethiopia, Egypt, and Sudan.
Look
so
that.
That's the same territory. And they said
yep.
they were moved that way west, going west because of the different wars. But, of course, you would know. I mean, come on. If you've been here already and you've been on this land so long, you're going to know the territory.
There
so you
go.
Travel. We've been traveling. It makes
there
so much
go.
Sense. It would make sense that there would be an island of Guinea-Bissau, this so-called island. They said they got 88 islands. There's never been, and the people on the little islands would say they came from Kemet.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense.
Absolutely.
It makes so much sense. Because when I DNA came back, I just knew they were going to say Ethiopian. Because people always say, you look Ethiopian all my life. But when it's saw Guinea-Bissau, I was like, oh, wow. I kind of was a little sad a little bit. Like, man, I just knew I was Ethiopian. But then I started reading, and the people of Guinea-Bissau said they came from Ethiopia. I'm like, oh, my God, no. I want to cry again. Oh, man, we are one. These artificial borders, like it's saying, our manual, man.
That's right.
It's so deep. We have such a rich heritage. This is our heritage. We came from Guinea-Bissau. We went there. What the white man going to say? Well, we was the caveman, and we left the caves, and, you know, we was doing kind of bad, and these Africans came and helped us, and, we started killing each other after they taught us, and after we started killing each other, we killed them, too. This is the history of the white man.
They're going to always come up with something. They're going to always come up with something.
That's their true heritage. But what our heritage is, even if all the stuff they did to us, our beautiful, sweet people still want to look at even Yaya. He still want to show them mercy. Yaya still want to show them some kind of mercy. I say let them take a running leap real fast off a short cliff, if you ask me. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, we just such a beautiful-hearted people, man. You know, we just got to love black people, man. Now, don't get us wrong. We wild. We wild in the mud. We might be a little sometimes, you know, but as a whole, just beautiful. Plain beautiful. So I love y'all, brothers and sisters. Thank y'all for listening. We're going to sign off. We're going to sign off same black time tomorrow. Come on back on. We appreciate all of the supporters. Hit us up at nbpp.org to join. To donate, to inquire. Black power.
Black power.